It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Scientists, they estimate more than 22 million pounds of plastic pollution flow through the Great Lakes each year. We learn about new federal funding to address that. Call in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Deidre Peroff is a social scientist with Wisconsin Sea Grant. Deidre, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So tell us a bit more here how plastic pollution is affecting the Great Lakes.
Yeah, well, it's something that's been very concerning to Wisconsin Sea Grant and to lots of local organizations for a long time. For me, when I look at the charts, it's just concerning because of how fast it's being produced, and it's the production of it has increased over 20-fold over the last 50 years alone. So plastic is just everywhere. Most of the plastic that was found in the Great Lakes, or sorry, most of the marine debris that's been found in the Great Lakes has been plastic. It's about 89%. And nearly 22 million pounds of plastic enter the Great Lakes each year. But what's more concerning to me than that is the that it's a lot of it turns into microplastics. Mm. So as there's erosion and sun beat down on the plastics, it turns into these really, really small particles of plastic that end up in our drinking supply, end up in the air we breathe, even end up in the beer that we drink. And it's been found in human breast milk as well.
How is the plastic getting into the Great Lakes in the first place?
That's a really good question. I think a lot of times people kind of think that it's just from litter alone. But because of the mere volume of plastics, I think there's a lot of different factors that come into play. One thing to think about is away is never away. So if there is a piece of plastic, it's going to be in the environment for up to 500 years. So every piece of plastic that's ever been produced is still out there in the environment right now. We also, we being a Milwaukee Riverkeeper and some other organizations that I work with on this plastic, kind of look at it from a social and environmental justice perspective as well, is thinking of communities that might not have adequate pickup for our municipalities that don't regularly pick up the trash, or, you know, there might be trash containers that are overflowing, and then just overuse of plastic, particularly single-use plastics that are used typically less than 10 minutes. There's definitely an overuse of that, like plastic bags and plastic water bottles and things like that. And then, like, I guess from an environmental justice perspective, another thing that we really think about is making sure that it's equitable for everybody to use plastic, because they do make a lot of sense. But when they're overused, it's kind of asking why. And so if people don't trust their local drinking source, for example, they might be more likely to use plastic bottles. So we always kind of think about those concerns as well, as why are people using a lot more plastic, even if they are educated about plastic? And a lot of times it's because they feel safer using plastic, and things like that come up.
Deidre, let's look at the flow of funding here, bipartisan infrastructure law funding, Inflation Reduction Act, and most recently, the Biden administration directing $300,000 on this work. How do you expect this money to be used?
Yeah, so there were a few different parts. So at Wisconsin Sea Grant, we're a state-federal partnership, so we are actually under NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and then also through the university. And so this funding was kind of anticipated for a while, and it was allocated to work on some different elements of cleaning up marine debris nationally. So one big part of it would be removal of marine debris. So thinking of kind of innovative ways to remove marine debris. And then another part of it was really focused on prevention and research, looking more into kind of how microplastics are impacting our bodies, and, you know, how they're getting in the ecosystem, and then, you know, what the impacts are of microplastics and nanoplastics even. Mm. There are some people at the School of Freshwater Sciences at UWM that are looking at nanoplastics, which are even smaller. But the part of the funding, part of our project that was funded is worked on, is to focus on coalition work. So basically, this program called Plastic Free MKE, which we can talk a little bit more about, and then also just some education around plastic and kind of talking about it more in schools and, you know, helping teachers come up with curriculum to talk about plastics.
How,
and then helping kids be kind of civic leaders around plastic.
Yeah, how important is it to develop these coalitions and work with other groups, whether it is Plastic Free Milwaukee or with Ohio's version of Sea Grant? What about the coalitions?
Yeah, I think that was kind of the whole idea when Plastic Free MKE started a few years ago, was to have it be sort of a, not just like a one and done project, but be a movement. And considering there, you know, all of the Great Lakes have issues with plastics and marine debris, we kind of looked at that as, you know, what are other cities that are also, you know, struggling with plastics and have, are similar to Milwaukee. And Cleveland was a good fit for that.
And
they
looking
just kind of needed
at,
a little support.
Yeah, best practices and an organization. Yes, Deidre Paroff with us, social scientist, Wisconsin Sea Grant. You can join in 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Environmental and conservation groups, they're working together to try to protect the Great Lakes from plastic pollution and other marine debris. We learned specifically how Sea Grant is using federal funds. Call in with questions, 800-642-1234. Deidre Paroff is a social scientist with Wisconsin Sea Grant. Let's bring on a call now. Kenneth in Beloit. Hi, Kenneth. Go ahead.
Good morning. I'd like to point out that polyester is plastic that's used in our clothes that produces more microplastics than any of the other plastic we use in containers and so forth. And we use our low cost clothing and usually throw it in the trash after a short season, and it ends up in our water bodies as microplastics.
Kenneth, thank you for that call. And Deidre, can you go more into microfiber, microplastics, and the impact?
Yeah, I was thinking about that this morning, actually, on the way to work. I think Mike, what he brought up is a really good point. It's in like kind of the fuzzy warm blankets that we use all the time. It's in fleece, things like that, that you wouldn't really even think of. It's also in chewing gum and in lots of things, are laced or lined with plastic that you might not think about. And then thinking about it from, an ethics perspective too, there are some filters that you can get that you can put on your, washing machine that are supposed to help collect microplastics and prevent them from getting into the water cycle. But they're really expensive, you know, so we have one and it was kind of a long discussion to decide if we were going to get it, but it was over $100, but there are some that you can get and it actually traps a lot of those little tiny fibers that are coming off of your clothing and attached to your washing machine.
Oh, okay. So, an option there, Kenneth, thank you. Nick now in Monona. Nick, what's on your mind?
Hi, I was just wondering, so much of the plastic that I see is related to companies that profit by using this plastic, you know, fast food companies even that just use the horrible styrofoam type things for their to-go food. Has there ever been any litigation against companies that are profiting or tax incentives to make them change?
The corporate look here. Nick, thank you. What happens to companies that are still using plastics, and how do you get away from that, Deidre?
I'm not sure specifically that there's a lot out there right now that could really tax people or fine them. One thing that is not widely known is that now, as of, I think, only the last year or the last few months, there is a citywide ordinance on plastic straws. that's kind of all that's been able to happen. There was maybe Jennifer, if your next guest could talk a little bit more about this preemptive ban on bands. But right now it actually is the law that restaurants are not supposed to have plastic straws unless somebody asks for them. Or there's, you know, if someone has a disability or something and really wants one, but they're not supposed to offer it. And they're supposed to offer alternatives like, you know, bamboo straws or paper straws instead of plastic straws. So that's one kind of small start in the right direction, I think, in the city of Milwaukee, at least.
And in Milwaukee, you work with children a lot, educating on plastic pollution. What are you trying to teach kids about plastics?
Yeah, so that was kind of like our piece of it to start that Milwaukee Riverkeeper and I were working on over the last few years, Leah Holloway at Riverkeeper. And the original funding that we got before this was to work on an education program around plastics. And we're working really closely with Milwaukee Public Schools because it's something that the teachers really want to provide. But as you know, kids or teachers are overworked and, you know, especially during the pandemic, you know, it was hard to get all the curriculum in. And so we've worked on creating a plastics curriculum and also an audit that students can do in their classrooms. So when it was created, they ended up doing it in their household because it was during the pandemic. But now they kind of can take an inventory of all the plastics that are being used in their classroom. And then we're facilitating them be sort of leaders around change around plastic and, you know, talking to their parents or their teachers or their principal and kind of seeing what they can do to minimize their use of plastics.
Deidre Peroff, social scientist with Wisconsin Sea Grant, calling with questions about plastic pollution, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show and the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We learn about the scale of plastic debris in the Great Lakes and how a coalition of groups, they're working on the problem with federal funding. Join in with questions about plastics, what you've heard, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Deidre Peroff is here, social scientist with Wisconsin Sea Grant, stays with us. And Jennifer Bolger-Preseda is here, executive director of Milwaukee Riverkeeper. Jennifer, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Yes. So you recently held your Earth Day cleanup event, removed about 50 tons of trash along the Milwaukee River Basin. How much of an impact does that have in reducing plastic pollution in the Great Lakes?
Well, we hope it has a great impact. Our rivers in Milwaukee are connected to our lake. They breathe back and forth with each other. They form the drinking water source for millions of people. We need to protect them and restore them and keep them clean. So yeah, we had over 4,000 volunteers come out on Saturday Earth Day at over 100 different sites in the Milwaukee River Basin. And we are still counting, but we estimate that we removed over 50 tons of trash. And we know from doing this for 28 years, this was our 28th annual, that the majority of that is plastic, over about 80 to 90% of that is plastic.
Is it mostly along the shoreline or is it mostly in the water? Where do you find the concentration of plastic pollution?
That's a great question. It's both. The majority of our cleanup is a land-based cleanup along the land that surrounds the rivers, the parkways, the pathways that run along the river. But it does get into the river. Stormwater runoff when it rains and snows and water melts and wind blows, nuisance trash pollution gets down to our waterways. Geography of the earth is set up so that water runs down and it carries stuff with it, pollutants and plastics and trash and litter. And so we really find it everywhere in the trees, on the land, in the water.
you recently teamed up with Wisconsin Sea Grant to do this plastics audit of Milwaukee schools in 2021, and Deidre started talking about it. What did you find through the audit?
Well, we found that, you know, there are plastic is everywhere. Single-use plastic is the biggest issue. I know Deidre was talking about that earlier, but that is where we find the most pervasive plastic. You know, plastic is in chip bags and milk, you know, the milk containers that children get in schools. And, you know, we know that there are ways and things that people can, you know, measures people can take, schools, individuals, businesses, to try to reduce that single-use plastic.
Deidre, what can caregivers, parents do when talking with kids about this particular problem? Do you have any tips?
Well, when I think about tip, well, I think that what we were trying to do with this program is actually see how, like, flip it and see how the youth can impact their parents and how they can impact teachers. And there's been a lot of recent research that, you know, looks at that exactly of, you know, even for some of these really complex environmental problems, like what are youth can actually be really impactful in teaching adults about this kind of stuff. So kind of starting young, you know, we all as adults have a lot of other things to worry about. But if you can kind of, you know, they really latch onto this as something to really care about. So, yeah, actually kind of I see it the other way. But same thing, I think kids can get really involved, you know, at a young age. You can teach them about recycling and like the different numbers that you find in the back of containers that you might use. You know, my kids, they really like those little like applesauce packets. And I always say, like, we can only use these when we're like out on the road. You can't use them at home. You know, you have to like put it in a bowl when you're at home, or it's very wasteful, you know, and things like that. And just kind of starting young and figuring out how to teach them how to reduce their impact.
Jennifer,
be really helpful.
Yes. And Jennifer, you know, when you have these mass pickup days along rivers and on beaches, and I'm wondering, you know, we see the adopt a road signs, you know, when you're going down roads and groups picking up litter alongside the road. Is there a way that that can also be applied to our waterways, that approach?
Yeah, well, that is just a wonderful question. You know, we have been doing this cleanup for a long time, and the amount of trash is not decreasing. It is increasing. And as a result, you know, that Milwaukee River Keeper created an Adopt a River program, exactly like you said, similar to the Adopt a Highway, Adopt a Road type program, where individuals, businesses, families, whoever can adopt a section of the river in the Milwaukee River Basin and clean it up all year long, not just this one time at Earth Day. And that also, you know, our cleanup also sprung the idea for the Plastic Free MKE Coalition, trying to create this grassroots movement to put some pressure on businesses and consumers to refuse single-use plastic and try to make it a larger community effort to demand change and try to change some systems that we have. You know, we don't have a lot of choice when we go to the grocery store, when we shop, when we do things, and that is a problem. We need to have that change, and one way to make it change is through people, you know, refusing and really asking and demanding for that change.
Talking about plastics pollution in the Great Lakes with Jennifer Bolger-Briceda from Milwaukee River Keeper, Deidre Peroff here from Wisconsin Sea Grant. Bring your questions on plastics in the Great Lakes at 800-642-1234. Deidre, I mean, I'm just wondering, because the Great Lakes are so interconnected, well, they are interconnected, and I would imagine debris would then flow, the plastic flows through the route of the water is flowing. How can you stop the spread of the debris when the debris follows the flow of the water?
that's a good question. I don't know. There's lots of different, like I kind of mentioned earlier, there are a lot of different, it kind of depends on the city and the lake and the impact. I mean, generally, like we mentioned before, you know, 90% of the plastic that we found in the Great Lake is in the Great Lakes is plastic. And there are different cities doing different initiatives along the water. So like there was one that I heard of a couple years ago, which was creating like a big trash wheel where it actually kind of like collects trash and it kind of, you know, pumps all the time. And then it's collecting lots of trash from the rivers and from the lakes and things like that. And there's other innovative techniques, but I don't know. It's a really hard problem, obviously, because it does kind of flow everywhere. So it's hard to know how to get it out of all the Great Lakes. And things like the cleanup definitely help a lot, starting with the rivers, right? Because it's something a little more accessible than a big, huge, huge lake, right?
Yes. Jennifer, can you add to that? I mean, does the plastic stay on the water surface? Does it, you know, keep flowing into the next water body? Where does it go?
Yeah, it flows around. It's uncontrolled nuisance pollution, and it gets into the ecosystem, and it's persistent, and you know, meaning it lasts forever, and it's hard to get it out once it's in there. You know, I think the best way to do it is to really work on not using so much plastic in the first place and trying to do, you know, take measures, change systems, change lifestyles, even just a little bit. You know, over the last 20 years, plastic consumption has gone up so much. In Wisconsin, we have a preemptive ban on plastics, which means that no local government can enact a law that would, or a regulation or a rule or an incentive program that would prohibit a business from using a single-use plastic container. So we can't, our grocery stores, you know, can't be prohibited from using plastic bags, you know, things like that. And it makes it really hard to change things. So having people really get involved is one of the best ways for Wisconsin and Milwaukee in particular to really try to make a change, because we can't just create a new system. We have to demand change in a different way here.
Jennifer, what about the federal funding here that is trying to work toward coalition building? And so groups can work together like Sea Grant and Milwaukee Riverkeeper. What impact do you see there?
Well, it's really exciting, the potential there for funding to support it. I think there's a lot of things that Plastic Free MKE would like to do, and that is a very large coalition of nonprofits and businesses and individuals and groups that are trying to put in a lot of different systems. We have a water refill program to support events. You know, the plastic use is a social justice, environmental justice issue as well. Bottled water is a commodification of water. It privatizes water when water should be, you know, clean. Drinking water should be free and a right that people can have. We need water to live. You know, food apartheid, grocery stores and healthy food choices, good restaurants in
it's all, so you know, interconnected. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you both for joining us and sharing your work.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having us.
Deidre Peroff, social scientist with Wisconsin Sea Grant, and Jennifer Bulger-Braceda there is the executive director of Milwaukee Riverkeeper. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.